All the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My marginal note for the Spirit of God reads, that is, the breath which God gave him. So here we find the word breath being used interchangeably with the word Spirit. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, or the Spirit of God, as it says in Job, and man became a living soul. Now I'd like to take you to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Luke 23, 46. This is Jesus speaking while he was on the cross. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Other translations for gave up the ghost read, breathed his last. And we saw in Job the word spirit used interchangeably with breath. So when the Apostle James tells us the body without the spirit is dead. That's James 2:26. So the spirit that Jesus commended into his Father's hands, or the ghost which he gave up, was his breath of life. And we will see that more as we go along. So again, it is a combination of the body and breath, or body and spirit, that makes man a living soul. Let's turn back in the Old Testament to find another definition for soul. We've seen soul as being the combination of body and breath. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Exodus chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Here we find the word souls meaning people. So a soul is a person. And a man with the combination of his body and his breath is a living soul. The combination of body and breath, or body and spirit. So the next question is, what is the condition of man? Well, first of all, God told man if he sinned, he would surely die. Genesis 2:17. The devil said, ye shall not surely die. Genesis 3:4. The apostle Paul tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul also, that's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Paul also tells us the wages of sin is death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And the prophet Ezekiel makes it even more plain. He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's found in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, and in verse 20. You find the statement twice there. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the Bible makes it crystal clear that the soul can die. Let's go back to the book of Job, this time chapter 4, and we'll read verse 17. Job chapter 4, verse 17. It reads, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall man be more pure than his maker? Notice the first part. It says, mortal man. That means, friends, that man is mortal. The Bible makes it crystal clear that the soul can die, and it says that man is mortal. So the next question, if man's mortal, who's immortal? Let's turn back to the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So the Bible tells us that man is mortal, but only God is immortal. And again, the Bible makes it crystal clear that the soul can die. A man is only a living soul when he has his body and his breath together. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard the illustration of boards and nails being used to make a box. You can do that. You can take boards and nails and build a box out of them. But if you take the boards and nails apart, where's the box? It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And even the lights above us, we have light bulbs with electricity running through them. But if we turn them off and there's no electricity running through them, where's the light? It's gone. It didn't go anywhere. I also like to liken man to a computer. A computer has memory in it, but it needs electricity in order for someone to access the computer memory. If a man turns off the computer and no electricity runs through it, what happens to the computer memory? Well, you simply can't access it. It's the same way with man. And we will see proof of this also. It's the same way with man. He's only a living soul. He only has a brain that operates when he has his body and his breath together. Let us turn now to the book of Ecclesiastes, a text that I'm sure you're all familiar with, Ecclesiastes 9, starting with verse 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, starting with verse 5. It reads, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." So right here in Ecclesiastes 9:5, Solomon tells us plainly, the dead know nothing. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing. The memory of them is forgotten. He goes on in verse 6 saying, "Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." Notice the ending of verse 6 tells us that they have no more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. That means the dead have no involvement in anything that is going on this planet. They know nothing. They're asleep, as we will see. And now Solomon here has it all broken down. He says at the beginning of verse 6, "Their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished." David sums it all up. David says, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish." Same word, perish. So David sums it all up. He says his thoughts perish. So that tells us again that the soul can die. It does die when a man dies. His memory is gone. It's simply not there anymore. Let us read verse 10 in the same chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It reads, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Whither thou goest means where you go. So when a man dies, where does he go? Into the grave. Stay where you are in Ecclesiastes. God told Adam, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return." That's Genesis 3:19. So man, when a man dies, his memory, his thoughts perish, his memory is forgotten, he is no longer a living soul. He returns to dust. He goes into the grave. In the same book, Ecclesiastes, let's read chapter 12, verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Solomon says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit," that refers to the breath of life, "shall return unto God who gave it." So the Bible makes, again, friends, crystal clear. Because of sin, we are all subject to death. And when we die, our thoughts perish, our memory is forgotten, we return to dust. That's what happens. The only thing that returns back to God is the breath, or the spirit, which he gave. In the same psalmist who summed it all up, David said, "In that day his thoughts perish." He also defines death as sleep. He says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." David gives us that plain definition. That's Psalm 13:3, where David defines death as sleep. In fact, Scripture goes on telling us David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So when he died, he slept. That's 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. And the Apostle Paul tells us David fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. That means he decayed, returned to dust. That's Acts 13:36. The Apostle Peter tells us David is not ascended into the heavens, Acts 2:34. In that same chapter, he says David is both dead and buried, Acts 2:29. So the Bible gives us a very clear example from David. When a man is dead, he is not passed into the heavens. He's dead and buried. He's asleep. Let us turn back to the New Testament together, to the book of John, chapter 11. John chapter 11. We'll start with verse 11. John chapter 11, starting with verse 11. "These things said he," meaning Jesus, "and after that he saith unto them," his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Let's stop right there for a moment. After all, when a person is sick, sleep is one of the best medicines, is it not? For a lot of illnesses, we say, drink plenty of liquids, get plenty of rest. So that's what his disciples think is happening with Lazarus. He's sick and he needs to get some sleep. Verse 13, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." So even the Lord himself defines death as sleep. And of course, when you're asleep, you have no idea what's going on. You're unconscious. So, and it's the same way with the dead. Again, they know nothing. They're asleep. They're in the grave, returning to dust. So now, let's turn back to Luke 23. We'll read verse 43 this time. The next question is, what about Jesus when he was on the cross? Luke 23:43. Now we know we can't just take all the rest of the information given us in the Bible and throw it away. The Bible is too plain and clear on what is the true state of the dead. Luke 23:43. This is Jesus speaking to the thief. Remember, two thieves were crucified along with him. And one of them, at first both reviled him, but eventually one reviled him, but the other repented of his sins. It says in Luke 23:43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's the common understanding of what Jesus is saying. Today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in heaven. And most people who have translated the Bible have structured the sentence that way. You have the word today. I'm sorry. You have Jesus saying, verily I say unto thee, followed by a comma. And then you have him saying, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You'll find that also in the Reina Valera Spanish Bible. You'll find it in Luther's German translation. And you'll find it in the vast majority of the English translations. You'll find a comma, then Jesus saying, today you will be with me in paradise. But as you all know, the New Testament was written in what language? Did I hear somebody answer? Greek. That was the language it was written in. And ancient Greek, well, first century Greek specifically, also known as Koine Greek, had no punctuation. Koine Greek and ancient Hebrew had no punctuation. So we know that there was no comma in the Greek text as it was originally written. There was no comma before the word today. And so let's turn now to John chapter 20, verse 17. Keep your finger on Luke, but let's look at John 20, verse 17. John 20, verse 17. This is Jesus speaking to Mary Magdalene, John 20, verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Jesus plainly stated, I am not yet ascended to my Father. And that was after his resurrection. On the first day of the week, Sunday morning, he said, I am not yet ascended to my Father. That means Jesus did not go to heaven the day he died on the cross. That's the absolute proof from the Bible. He did not go to heaven the day he died on the cross. So how should Luke 23:43 read? Well, to be consistent with the rest of what the Bible says on the state of the dead, it should read, verily I say unto thee today, then the comma, thou shalt be with me in paradise. We know because Jesus didn't go to heaven the day he died on the cross, that those who have translated the Bible, because of their misunderstanding or misinterpretation of the passage, have put the comma in the wrong place. It is the misplaced comma. It should come after today. And I have had a Greek after the word today. He's not saying you're going to be with me in paradise on this day. He's saying, today, I promise you that eventually you will be with me in paradise. That's what Jesus is telling the thief. And I was about to mention that I have talked to a Greek interpreter about the Greek version of this verse. And the Greek text does allow for that interpretation. Verily, I say unto thee today, comma, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that interpretation of the passage is consistent with everything else that the Bible says about the state of the dead and what it means to be a living soul. So the repentant thief is waiting for the same thing as all other repentant sinners are waiting for. And it was mentioned in Timothy, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, let us go to two more places in the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start with verse 51. First Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 51. The Apostle Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let's stop right there. The dead are going to be raised incorruptible, and they will be made immortal. I want to mention that in the verses we're about to read, the Apostle Paul quotes the Old Testament. First he quotes Isaiah 25:8, and then he quotes Hosea 13:14. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death will not win, neither will the grave. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians, our last place, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 16. So friends, even though the Bible makes it clear that when a man dies, he goes into the grave, he knows nothing, we still have hope, friends. There will be a second coming. There will be a resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting with verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's stop right there for a moment. Let's keep our Bibles open. So friends, again, we have that hope. Jesus is coming again. And there will be a resurrection. The only way we can escape death is if Jesus comes while we are still alive. The Bible plainly says there will be people still alive when Jesus comes. But the important part is that we be ready to meet Jesus in peace, whether we be alive or dead at his coming, so that we may be among the righteous dead, becoming the righteous resurrected, or be among the righteous living at his coming. Either way, verse 18 reads, wherefore comfort one another with these words. May this be the hope and comfort of each one of us. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you so much that in him we have the hope of everlasting life. We have the hope of his second coming in the resurrection and the hope of some of your people being alive when he comes. And we pray that you will help us to remain patient and faithful until that glorious day. And we pray that as we leave this house of worship today, your Spirit will continue to be our comforter, our teacher and guide. And we thank you so much for the angels protecting us. We thank you for giving us your holy scriptures. And again, we thank you and praise you most of all for the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, our dear Lord Jesus. In his worthy name we pray. Amen.